Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
The Liberal Party is committed to legalizing and regulating marijuana, controlling it in a way that is going to protect our kids and remove criminal elements from it. And we're going to get started on that right away.
This is an injustice that's happening across Canada, and as a country, we should stand up and be progressive.
What do you suggest that these people go today? Back to the black market? Back to the alleyways?
Peaceful Canadians being charged and arrested and handcuffed.
In less than a week, Canada's set to become the second nation in the world to fully legalize recreational marijuana.
Yeah, it's official. This is the best day in the history of Canada to purchase marijuana, and the best day to smoke marijuana publicly. It's historic, really, so naturally on the big story, we are talking about finance. High finance. A few years ago, shares in the companies that are growing the stuff that everyone's buying today cost a couple bucks each. Now they're worth a lot more than that. And if you know anyone who invested back then, you've probably heard all about it. But this has the potential to be a massive industry led by Canadian companies who sell something that we know there's huge demand for. So should you get on board? I mean, yes, pot stocks right now cost a lot more than they did, but what will they be worth in 2019 or 2020? What if a few more countries follow Canada's lead? Is there still room on this bandwagon, or will you just be burning your money along with your bud? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. And no, by the way, we are not recording this podcast while high, because even though it's legal now, that's still not allowed, which is a whole nother episode.
Everyone is just excited about this because they see the gains. It's easy to get greedy. It's easy to kind of be excited about what's going to happen, but that's not how you invest.
Brian Borzakowski is a freelance journalist who writes about business for Money Sense, for the Globe and Mail's Report on Business, and for all sorts of other financial publications. He has been trying to make sense of how this marijuana market grew, where it goes from here, and what that means to those of us who might be late to considering it. Brian, start at the beginning. When we talk about marijuana stocks, what are we talking about? How long have they been on the market?
Okay, so marijuana stocks are the companies producing pot. That is essentially who is listed now is the big ones, Canopy Growth, Aphria, Aurora. These are producers, licensed producers who are making the pot and are going to sell it to the government, who will sell it to us, and all that stuff. So they're kind of the first line here. I think in the future we'll see a lot more companies come up. We'll see people making products, you know, vapes, edibles. I mean, all sorts of different companies could be producing various cannabis-related things, and they could list on the stock exchange. It's been not, they haven't been around that long. They've been around for a few years. And the interest has exploded, as you might expect when a new industry kind of takes shape. People have high expectations, and a lot of these stocks have grown by a ton. I mean, we've seen just in the last year alone, there's this index that covers a whole bunch of different pot stocks. It's up 500%. We've seen some stocks go up 100% in a month. This week, we've seen stocks rise at the beginning of the week. We saw pot stocks rising, continuing to rise in anticipation.
Is that just all people jumping on the bandwagon now that the day is coming?
I think it is. I mean, I think people have been jumping on the bandwagon for a long time. I mean, you know when pot stocks are something that everyone is jumping on the bandwagon for when you go to your Passover Seder in April and people are talking about how they've all invested in pot stocks, which is what happened to me last year. And so that is just a sign that the hype is real here, that people are excited about this and getting into it. But hype isn't a good investment strategy. I mean, we saw that happen in the internet boom of 1999. It was another industry that was going through massive change. The promise of the internet was enormous. People were excited. They invested in all these companies, and they all went bust because the promise wasn't realized, at least not yet. So, and I think that's what's going to happen with pot. I think the expectation is great. It's high. But we're going to see this industry undergo a lot of chaos in the first little while and a lot of turmoil, and people will be disappointed. Long term, there's something there, but not right now.
The immediate difference in my mind between marijuana stocks and the internet boom of the late 90s is that there is pot available. There's a demand for it. We know people are smoking it. There is a product here that's going to be put on sale. Whereas back when the internet was surging, everybody was just kind of like, well, how are we going to make money off this? We don't really know. This one kind of has a very finite thing. There's going to be pot. We're going to sell it to people. And don't we know how much Canadians want pot already? Is there any research on that?
Well, okay. So first of all, I mean, yes, the industry, StatsCan has some estimates that saying that in 2017, Canadians bought about $5.7 billion of pot. There are other estimates that kind of around that range. And yeah, that's a lot and that's significant. But the mistake that people make is that Canada is the only legal place right now for pot. That's a major country. Canada, nobody would say, oh my God, Canada's opening up a new industry. I'm going to bet everything on the Canadian market. We're right. 35 million people. We're tiny. And when it comes to pot legalization, I mean, if every single person bought pot, we'd still be small compared to, you know, California and other countries and the promise of legalization, you know, the market in the US, it's still illegal there on a federal level. If that became legal, imagine how big that would be. So I think people need to put what's going on in perspective. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to write about. Everyone can talk about cannabis in the open in the ways they couldn't before. But we're a small market. And I think what is going to happen before these companies make a lot of money, and most aren't, there are none really are profitable, and they're making only revenues in the millions. We're not talking multi-millions, billions. But they could get there if other markets open up. And that's where the promise is. So you're right, the internet wasn't really in the same shape as it was now, but neither is the cannabis industry. I mean, right now, the Canadian market is so small. If Germany opens it up, if the US one day opens it up, if other countries in Europe do, then we're talking. Then we're talking a massive market. We're talking billions of dollars for these companies, and we're talking a lot of money for shareholders.
Tell me about the conversation you had on Passover.
So yeah, I'm sitting next to family members and friends, and they're saying, "Oh my God, pot stocks! You know, we got in. It's gone up so much. We're so excited about this." I have friends. I have this WhatsApp group with a couple friends, and they love to talk about the pot stocks that they invest in. And these are guys that are very smart. But I guess I never really pegged as stock pickers, and I'm not sure how many other stocks they pick, but they were picking cannabis stocks. So I would keep telling them, you know, watch out, this is going to fall. And they said, no, this is great. And then the next day they'd say, oh, my stock fell by 10% today. Oh, now it's up. Now it's down. And it's just in this wild ride. And when, everyone is just excited about this because they see the gains. It's easy to get greedy. It's easy to kind of be excited about what's going to happen. But that's not how you invest. I mean, you have to invest on fundamentals. That's really what happens. Earnings. I mean, these are boring things that really drive stocks, but it's about, is this company making money? Does it have a market position? Is it able to supply the demand? These are things we don't even know yet. Canopy Growth is the biggest company in Canada. Who knows what they're going to be like in a couple years? It's just impossible to know.
Tell me about Canopy Growth. How big are they? How much did their stock cost kind of when it started, and where are they headed? Because that's the name that I keep hearing.
Canopy Growth makes cannabis, and they, you know, are one of the early entrants into this industry. So they're one of the biggest. They have a market cap of about $16 billion, which is one way to kind of value the, you know, how big a company is. And they're the biggest one in Canada and, you know, around the world, because there's not that many others elsewhere. Their stock, when it first listed in 2014 or 5 years ago, was about $2. Now it's $70. So if you invested back then, you would have made a lot of money. So people have made a lot of money on this. And who knows, I might be an idiot and these things will still go up, and I'll be the one wishing I got in. But they are sort of driving the conversation here. They also made a really big deal not that long ago with Constellation Brands. That's the company that owns Corona. So they're already making partnerships in other industries. That's been driving the stock price higher. They bought a hemp production company recently. They want to learn, kind of use different technologies to kind of produce pot better. So they're you know, a big leader in this. And I think if you were going to make a bet on any of them, I mean, that is a good one to go for because they are the largest and are sort of entering into these partnerships that appear to be kind of smart ways to play this into alcohol, into, you know, potential edibles in the future, which aren't even legal till 2019. But again, we don't know kind of where things will end up with any of these companies. Constellation Brands has the right to take over more than 50% of the company. They own about 30%. They have a stake of about 30%, 38% now. They could up that. So Canopy Growth could just become Constellation Brands one day, which would be, you know, part of this beer conglomerate. So you're not really investing in a pot stock then. You know, the price would go up if that happened, if they got bought out, probably. But, you know, these aren't necessarily yet long-term bets to make for a portfolio.
So it's legal today, and we can finally start getting data on how much of this Canadians buy, where they buy it, how much they pay for it, et cetera, et cetera. What kinds of figures and what kinds of benchmarks are we going to be looking for if you're somebody who's considering investing, or if you're somebody already holding a bunch of stocks and you want to know what happens when kind of the expectation meets reality?
The numbers are really based on illegal purchases, and the Stats Can has been doing all sorts of interesting ways to find out how much Canadians are consuming. They took, you know, they actually measured how much cannabis was in wastewater out east in Nova Scotia. And then they did some crazy mathematical thing to figure out, you know, how much people are smoking. So we don't know yet really what the demand is or what people smoke. We will find that out, which is a good thing for investors. But they said, Stats Canada recently came out and said that they think in the fourth quarter of 2018, so since from legalization from today until the end of the year, $1 billion of cannabis will be sold. That could happen. And if that happens, and if companies, you know, their expectations are met, then that's good for investors. We'll see the stocks probably rise. But the issue here is that, and I think what a lot of people are missing is that it's not easy to buy this stuff. It's going to be very difficult. So difficult that people are just going to keep going to their dealers. So I think that demand will probably miss. And when that happens, the stock prices will fall by quite a bit because they're so expensive and there's so much hype now. As soon as something happens that says, hey, this isn't going the way we thought, everyone will get out. Just think about it. Edibles are legal in 2019. In Ontario, there are no stores selling this stuff until 2019. Right now in Ontario, or you have to go to the website, the government-run website, and put all your information in. Wait until they deliver what you order to your door. First of all, will people put their information into a government website? I think there's still some worries around that. Maybe they don't need to be, but, you know, there has been a lot of stigma around cannabis and smoking it out in the open for a long time. So will people go to the site and do it? And then if, you know, even if they thought, well, maybe it's a good idea, they have their dealer on speed dial. I'm going to call him and her and get them to drop this off at my door today with my edibles. Why would you get rid of that when you can't walk into a store? So this isn't buying cigarettes in the convenience store down the street. That is not happening. And I think that will be a big deal when it comes to meeting these demand targets. I think they won't meet because people probably will wait to buy pot from their store until it's available in the store.
I'm not a huge stockholder. I don't really play the market, but I do know that there are a ton of analysts out there that are constantly kind of looking at companies that are attracting a lot of eyes, and they offer, you know, kind of buy, sell, or hold ratings. Do we have any sense about what kind of the mainstream financial analyst community is saying about pot stocks?
Well, from the people that I've spoken to, most of them are being very cautious around pot stocks. That's saying that this industry, again, is just still so unevolved yet that things could fall in a way that investors won't like. So they're saying more take a cautious approach. I think that, you know, there could be a case to be made possibly for keeping some money in it if you believe long term this is going somewhere. Except you've missed out on those gains. Like right now, they're very, very expensive.
Assuming that demand's not quite met immediately and the stocks dive a bit, that's certainly what some people are saying and kind of what you're, I guess, predicting in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Would you be willing to buy in when they were at a low? Do you believe in the future of the industry in general, or are you just skeptical of the whole thing?
I think there is certainly an industry here that has long-term potential that is a great opportunity for investors, but it's about the point to which you're supposed to buy in. So people smoke this stuff. Lots of people do it, and lots of people do it illegally. And again, like not just in Canada, but globally. And so if all of this was legal around the world, then imagine that market opportunity. It would be massive. I mean, it's like if alcohol came legal, you know, today as well. And, you know, and we've been drinking it all this time. I mean, you know what that kind of market is like and how much we drink on the weekends. I guess I don't know what the, like, if people aren't smoking now, will they smoke in the future? Will it be like alcohol in the same way? I mean, I have my personal opinions on pot versus alcohol. I prefer to have a drink than a joint. And so I'm not going to be starting to buy this stuff in a big way. And I don't know if we'll see people suddenly pick it up and start using it all the time. There will be some people. So I think that sort of the short term and long term, but I think over time, if this market's open up, people do smoke it. And I think there's a huge opportunity. I think, you know, the people I've spoken to have said, wait a year to see where this goes. Stocks will fall. And then there might be a better point to buy in where it is lower and where those gains will sustain over time as markets open up, the stock price will rise again. But so wait and see what is going to happen with this. But until then, you just got to be careful.
Is there kind of a coolness bump that people are willing to pay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that is what's happening. And that's what you're seeing. You know, you saw that with Bitcoin just rising because it was the hot new thing, because people were, it was the shiny object. And I think that we could see the stocks continue to rise this week into next week until sort of figures really come out. Because, if you saw Aphria, which was very interesting that they came out and said this last week, was that they see a shortage. They're warning of a shortage that people won't be able to buy this stuff. Now, that is terrible for stock investors, because if there's a shortage, then these companies won't make as much money, because then we, you know, start this thing about the supply and demand, and are people going to get frustrated and start calling their dealer and all that kind of stuff. So I think there's a bit of warning signs here that things may not go as smoothly as people thought. But if, you know, you see these stores, if there are lineups out the door for a couple weeks, people are going to get excited and say, hey, you know, we were right. This is going to be huge. But eventually those lines are going to disappear and reality will set in. So I think there is going to be possibly a bump of excitement over the next little while. But eventually, you know, in most cases with stocks, most cases, reality does set in. And that's when you have to not chase the pot at the end of the rainbow.
Brian Borzakowski, freelance financial journalist for Money Sense, The Report on Business, and other publications. That was day 3 of Pot Week on The Big Story. Tomorrow, we'll look at the concept of amnesty, why it's so hard for people of color and women to break into an industry that should be technically a free-for-all. And then on Friday, we're going to take your questions. So if you still have them, you know by now, we're at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can listen to all our other episodes there and hit that contact us form if you do have an idea. Or just shoot us your questions on social media at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And of course, if you haven't done it yet, I'm not sure what you're waiting for, but subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Stitcher, what have you. And don't forget to rate and review and tell your friends. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.